doing today? Good to hear. Well, thank you so much for coming in today. I will be your personal sommelier for your wine tasting this evening. Now, I went over the confirmed menu with our executive chef, and I think we've come up with some very lovely wine pairings for you today. Well, just so you know what to expect, as you know, you've selected 4 courses, so we have selected 1 wine per course, and we will be sampling all of those today. The chef also prepared some samples of your dishes, as you can see, so you'll be able to try those along with the wine. Well, one of the reds has been decanting for a little while, but why don't I go ahead and open up the others and we can get right into it. How does that sound for you? My pleasure. I'll be right back. Okay, so for our first wine today, we are going to be starting in the New World, and this wine will be going with your first course, Summer Greens with Grilled Halloumi Salad, and we have chosen this lovely Caria Chardonnay from Stag's Leap Vineyard in Napa Valley. Now, this vineyard is fairly noteworthy because when they first opened, actually, they entered a blind tasting in France in their first year of operations, and they ended up winning with their Cabernet Sauvignon, so that's pretty impressive against some of those old French wineries. And they've continued to show finesse and polish with their wines, which I'm sure you'll see today. So we will be starting with the nose. Now, Chardonnay can be made in many, many different styles, and its versatility is one of the reasons why it's such a popular grape with the winemakers. Now, depending on the climate and how the grape is grown, Chardonnay can range all the way from very citrusy, very bright flavors, all the way to more ripe tropical fruit, like your pineapple or your mango kind of flavors. Now, this Chardonnay in particular mostly exhibits a lot of stone fruit qualities, so those would be your peaches and your nectarines, and there is also some citrus, some lemon and some lime, definitely. Already excited? I thought you would be. Well then, let us have a sip. I'm sure that's the part you've been most excited for. So this is a medium-bodied wine, so it has some structural elements to it. So it's not quite a full-bodied wine, but that isn't as common for a white wine normally. You might also notice a creamy quality in the wine. This is fairly common for California Chardonnays, although it is becoming a little bit less popular at the moment. This comes from a process called malolactic fermentation, and I'll spare you the scientific details, but basically the naturally occurring acids in the wine are naturally converted into lactic acids, which is the acid that you would find in dairy products such as milk. And so that kind of brings on a almost buttery characteristic. A lot of winemakers describe it, and that is pretty common for a California Chardonnay. Yeah, you like it? I myself really enjoy California Chardonnays more so than more French styled. Yeah. This is also an oat Chardonnay, which is also quite common for California. This wine in particular is aged for 8 months in 30% new French oak barrels, which imparts on the wine some kind of vanilla bean and hazelnut notes. See if you can find some of those in there. Yeah, it gives it a bit of complexity. And the aging process is also done on its lees, which means that it's basically kept with the dead yeast cells after it's done fermenting, which gives the wine kind of bread dough and biscuity flavors. Think of a classic French champagne, that's always done on the wine's lees, and that's what gives it its very champagne signature flavor, is that yeasty kind of bit on the wine. So, how are you enjoying this wine? Perfect. Yes, I do find that this one is very easy drinking, but it's also quite refined, especially for a white wine. The word karya actually comes from a Greek root for the word graceful, and I think that's a pretty good descriptor for this one. So, we chose to pair this with your first course as it was a salad, so we naturally wanted to go with a white wine. But you had also chosen grilled halloumi, which gives it a bit more of a stronger flavor. So we wanted a wine with some more structural elements to it, so that the food didn't overpower the wine. And I think that this is a very good balance between the wine and the food, but you can go ahead and try for yourself. So, what's your final verdict? Perfect. One down. We've only got three more to go. I'll get that ready for you right away. Here we are. Now, for our next wine, we are traveling a bit around the world to Otago in New Zealand. And this is the Bannockburn Pinot Noir from Fenton Road Winery. Now, this winery hasn't been open for too many years yet, but the winemaker has studied extensively around the world, including in France, and their winery has done consistently well in every single vintage. So this is one of the rising stars, we think, in the Otago region. So let's go on the nose first again. And you'll probably notice right off the bat the bright cherry and plum notes, which is very typical for a Pinot Noir. But if you look a little bit deeper, you might find some notes of dried herbs or leather or baked earth, which I think are a really nice complement to the fruit notes. Now a sip. Of course. Now, this wine is also medium bodied, which is pretty typical for a Pinot Noir. It tends to be lighter than your Cabernet Sauvignon or your Merlots. It also has a very vibrant acidity to it, but it's very balanced there by the very plummy, very strong, dark fruit flavors. Yeah, so there's not really one note that's overpowering all the other ones in this wine, which is always what we're looking for in a good wine. This wine was also aged in French oak. This was for 22 months, though. Yeah, so there's a very nice balance of the different elements here. Now, Now, the climate in Otago is actually perfectly suited for the Pinot Noir grape to grow, so it is by far the most widely planted grape in Otago. The vineyards at Felton Road specifically are planted in the little foothills of the New Zealand Alps, and they're all northern facing, which, because New Zealand is in the southern hemisphere, means that they get the maximum amount of sunlight that they can. Yeah, so that's really good for the grapes to ripen, and when they get this amount of sunlight, they can really develop these very ripe and very vibrant fruit flavors, as opposed to vineyards that may have less sunlight in their ripening time. I am very lucky. I have actually personally been on a wine tour in Otago, and we only went and sampled Pinot Noir from a variety of producers, and it was a very, very lovely experience. The scenery especially was spectacular. They actually filmed quite a few scenes from Lord of the Rings there, so that can kind of show you how beautiful the scenery could be. So, for our pairing, you know that this is going with our second course of the roasted duck. And why we've chosen this pairing is because Pinot Noir, like I said, is on the lighter scale of the reds. So it pairs very, very well with dark meated poultry, such as duck. But going even further than that, the herbal and the cherry and the plum notes from this specific wine pair very, very well with the way that the chef has prepared your duck. Of course, go ahead and try. So, what do you think? Another success? Perfect. Well, let me grab that Chardonnay glass for you since you're all done with it, and I will get our third. So, we are moving on to the main course. And you have selected the chef's lovely Scotch fillet for the main course. So I wanted to go with some very classic wine to pair with that. And so I have selected you a Bordeaux. Now, this is from Château de Salt in Saint-Emilion, which is a Grand Cru. And this wine specifically is from 2015. Now, Saint-Emilion, in case you don't know, is on the right bank in Bordeaux, which means that the blends there are typically more Merlot heavy as opposed to the left bank Bordeaux's, which this bottle in particular is 75% Merlot, 20% Cabernet Franc, and 5% Cabernet Sauvignon. Now, on the nose. So, this wine has some very powerful plum, cassis, black currant notes. There's also some cigar box kind of spice notes, which are very typical for a Bordeaux. This blend in particular is aged for between 14 and 18 months in new French oak, depending on the vintage. What's also interesting about this vineyard is it's on sandy limestone soils, which might be a bit of a boring sounding detail, but the limestone soils mean that it can retain water during the dry periods of the growing season, but it's also very free draining, which doesn't mean that the vineyards can get too damp, which can either swell up the grapes or lead to fungal diseases, and we don't want those with this grape, obviously. So, I'm sure you've been looking forward to this. Cheers. This is a very elegant and refined example of a Saint-Emilion, and Bordeaux's can sometimes have very strong and firm tannins, which can be a bit overwhelming, but since this is a 2015, it's been given a few years to soften those tannins and really mix all its elements together well, don't you think? It also has a very full body to it, as opposed to our Pinot Noir, but that means that this will pair phenomenally with the Scotch fillet that you've selected. And you may also notice, since there has been some bottle aging time, it may have started to develop some tertiary aromas and flavors, which would be forest floor, kind of wet leaves. Not in a bad way, of course, but just a kind of hint in the fruit notes there. Yeah, it gives it a very nice depth to the aromas and the flavors. I'm glad you agree. So, how do you find this one? I knew that you were going to go with a yes, but that only leaves us one more to go. Let me go get that prepared for you. Okay, so we are moving on to the dessert course, which you had chosen with our chef. Here you go. To go with a selection of either a cheese platter or a lovely citrus and fruit tart. So I think I have found the perfect wine to go with that. Have you ever had a Sauterne before? No? Okay. Have you ever had a wine made from Beautrus before? No? Perfect. You are in for a treat. Now, I will have to ask you to stay with me for a moment, as this might sound a bit strange at the beginning, but Beautrus is actually a form of fungus. Don't worry. The fungus in the wine world, when grown correctly, is referred to as noble rot, because what essentially happens is the fungus only attacks the skin of the grape instead of the actual fruit part inside, which is where we get all of our flavors and components for our wine. But because the skin has become compromised, that means that the moisture of the grape can evaporate off. But this only happens with the water, which means that everything else in the grape, the sugars, the acids, the flavors, everything becomes concentrated. And you get this very, very sweet dessert wine, but it also has higher levels of acidity and very bold flavors. So it's not just overly sweet with nothing else to show. It's just a very, very strong wine. Yeah, and the Beautrus imparts some really nice kind of dried or candied fruit flavors, as opposed to the more usual fresh fruit flavors. And I think that it's a very, very, very nice kind of element to pair with any sort of dessert, really, whether it be sweet or whether it be a cheese board. Yeah, it's actually a pretty difficult process to allow to happen, because you need these kind of damp mornings in the vineyard so that the fungus can develop, but you need very dry and warm afternoons, preferably sunny, and then that way the rot doesn't overwhelm the grapes. It just can make that skin weaken and allow all these good things to happen. Yeah, so it can't happen every single year. It needs the right conditions, and that means that this type of wine is usually quite expensive. But the result is worth it, and you can see for yourself. Yeah, you can see those candied and dried fruit notes. I also get kind of a citrus zest, maybe an orange zest note. Yeah, can you smell that too? Yeah, you can almost smell the sweetness. It's kind of like a deep honey kind of aroma. Yeah, it's really, really nice. Now, this is from Chateau Bergeron, and it is a 2011 vintage. And Sauternes, in case you don't know, is in Bordeaux again, just like our last wine. But this area is a bit more inland than the other part of Bordeaux, which is the part that produces the reds that are pretty famous around the world. But this area is specifically known for making these sweet dessert white wines, and this one in particular is a blend of Semillon and Sauvignon Blanc. On the palate we have a lot of the same notes. I'm getting a bit of fig as well. Very nice. It also has some oak influence, which gives it some kind of tobacco and spice and some kind of almond notes to it, which are very lovely. Now, obviously with such a sweet wine, it's very full-bodied because the sugar content makes it a bit thicker, but this wine I find is very velvety in texture, so it's not overwhelmingly full-bodied where you feel like you're kind of almost chewing through your wine. It's very smooth. Now, this wine is also very labor-intensive to make. This vineyard normally does 3 to 6 passings in a season with hand harvesting, meaning that they send workers out at multiple points throughout the harvesting season so they can go through and pick the perfect grapes. They kind of almost look like raisins on the vine once they're ready, and if you pick them too soon, it won't be as concentrated, and if you pick them too late, then they'll get very bad odors and kind of tastes from the fungus. So there's this perfect moment where they just kind of raisined, but not all the way, and it's very hard to train your workers for that, but like I said, it's worth it. But I think my favorite part about this wine is, like I said, the acidity is also concentrated in the process, so it's not only sweet. It is quite sweet, but then it has this very vibrant and fresh acidity that kind of cuts through it and balances out the wine. So it's just a very kind of refined but very powerful glass of wine. And the finish is also remarkably long, which is one of the biggest things that we judge our wines on in the sommelier world. Now, for the pairing, like we had discussed, you had chosen the cheese platter, and the chef has chosen some kind of punchy, strong cheeses, which you can try there. And what we were aiming for with this pairing is to have the saltiness of the cheese, but also the strong flavors to not do battle, but be able to compete with the wine. So again, there's not one thing overshadowing the other. And the other option you had was the citrus and fruit tart, which will also work well with this wine, as you can try, as it has both the acidity and the sweetness that the wine also has, so it will be able to balance really, really well. Exactly. So, how is everything tasting for you? Fantastic. Perfect. Well, then I will finalize your wine contract, and I will send it off to your assistant before the end of the day. Well, thank you so much for choosing us to hold your event for you. I hope you had a great time today, and I hope that we exceeded all of your expectations. My pleasure. Well, thank you again so much. I hope you have a lovely evening, and I'll see you soon. Goodbye.